Tonight, I'm just going to share a word. Revelation rocks. And I see a couple of more people here, so at least somebody was interested in what I was going to say this morning. So, hallelujah. Thanks for coming tonight. And yeah, just from my side, because our evening services are relatively new and growing, I'm going to try and always in our evening service for the first while, just to finish at about 7 or just after 7, okay? So if there's people that want to come and think we're going to have an all-night session, you can put their minds at ease, okay? I'm not gonna do that. So whenever I go too long and you say, Deval, you said 7, then just put up your hand and then I'll stop, okay? All right. Well, this evening, Revelation rocks might have a couple of different meanings to different people if you say it. And I'm just going to share a word that the Lord has just laid on my heart a while back. And many of the things in our lives, you know, when somebody tells you something, that thing kind of becomes part of your knowledge. But when you live through something, it's a little bit different. Then you can go and tell somebody else, and you've got more to speak about it. But anyway, we're going to read from Numbers 13. It says there, okay, let's just pray before we go, all right? Father, we just come and we bring this word before you, Lord. And Father, we ask that you speak to us through your word tonight. And Lord, it's your spirit, Lord God, that breaks open the word that we can understand it. And that's what we ask for tonight, Lord, that you come and you break open your word so that we can understand it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Numbers 13 verse 1. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, send men of you, and they shall spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving the sons of Israel. And you shall send one man from each of the tribes of his fathers. And by the command of Jehovah, Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, where they were all. And then he sent them out to go and spy out the land of Canaan. Now, he names all the people there. You can go and read it. But the ones that I just want to highlight tonight is Numbers 13 verse 6. And of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. I'm glad my dad's name's not that. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And then Numbers 13 verse 8. And of the tribe of Ephraim, Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, these were the people who went out and God said to them, listen, you go and you spy out the land. Which is there? I want you to come and bring back a report for me. That's what Moses told them. Now, if you go and read there, in verse 16, it says there, after they've named all the people that were there, all the names of the people, it said there, and Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. So, many of you maybe did not know it, but God, or Moses actually called Oshea, who was Joshua, there, Joshua, for the first time. Now, what does this have to do with anything, Deval? Let me show you. Oshea means, save thou. So, in other words, whenever somebody called Oshea, it was kind of like saying, Lord, save us. Please come and save us. It's like a begging thing. Please come and save us. But Moses calls him and says, Joshua. And Joshua means, he will save. So it's a declaration of promise. So it's kind of like, you know, when Moses calls him Joshua, it's kind of thing from going from, Lord, Lord, please, please, to saying, I will. The Lord will. Okay, so when I read this, it was just kind of like, and as when I stopped and thought about this a little bit. You know, when Moses called him Joshua, it was kind of like something in that guy's spirit clicked. From, God, please save us, to, God will save. And God will do what he has promised to do all along. Now, Numbers 13, verse 7, or verse 17, we read forth. And it says, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, you go up this way into the Negeb, and go up into the hills, and you shall see that the land, what it is, and the people who are living on it, and then listen. Whether they are strong or feeble, whether they are few or many, and the land which they live, whether it is good or bad, the cities which they live, is it camps or is it fortresses? And where the land is, whether it is fat or lean, and if there's wood in it or not. Okay? So I just put it down there on the next thing. Moses sends them out, and all of those people, this is kind of their thing that they need to go and check. You know, strong or weak, few or many, good or bad, camps or strongholds, rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not. So these are the things that Moses tells him to go and do. And then we see there in verse 23, and they came into the valley of Eshcol, so on the next slide I'll just show you, because many times we read these things and we think, what's this now? Just go to that photo of there. So that is the valley of Eshcol. If you look at it, you know, it kind of looks like something in the Durance Valley. X River Valley, somewhere there, maybe. Anyway, so this is just a part of it. That's where they went in, these people. And when we read there, and they cut down from there a branch and one cluster of grapes. And they carried it on a staff by two. And also some pomegranates and some figs. So in that place, that valley of Eshcol, these people went to look at all of these things. They saw this. They saw a grape bunch so big that two people had to carry it. And that's kind of big. I know we've got some vines and stuff around here, and I've never seen any of those numbers. So it was a really, really good land that they were going into. But, you know, like with all the promises that God gives us, sometimes there's a little bit of a catch there. Verse 28 says, but the people that live in the land are fierce, and their cities are walled up and very great. And also, we have seen there the children of Anak. Okay? Now, the children of Anak, they were just the giants. Okay? Those big people. I know where they came from. They were huge, 3 meters tall, all of them. So, the children of Anak were there, and these people were very, very afraid. But now I want to just show you one thing here. All of the tribes, all of those people went, but Joshua and Caleb, they went there with something different. They looked at the same things that all the other people looked at, but they didn't make the same conclusions. What was the conclusion that the other people made? Verse 32, and they sent out an evil report of the land which they had spied out to the sons of Israel, saying, the land into which we passed to spy it out, it is a land eating up the ones living in it. And all the people we saw in its midst were men of stature. Okay? How's that for an overstatement? All of the people we saw were men of stature. And then they said, and we saw the giants there, the sons of Anak, and we were in our own eyes as grasshoppers. And so we were in their eyes. So what they did was they looked at whatever God has given there, told them to go and spy out. They saw all of the big stuff, the giants, the people. They said, listen, we're not going to go in there because all of the people are big, all of the people are great. They've got this massive city and cities that are fortresses. We're not going to go in there. But the big thing that we need to see here tonight is they saw themselves as grasshoppers. All right? I don't know if any of you have ever felt like it. Yeah, maybe. But if you see yourself as a grasshopper, the next part of the verse says, and they saw them as grasshoppers. So all of a sudden, they're standing there, and now they see themselves as grasshoppers, and those other people, they're also seeing them as grasshoppers. And the people and the sons of Israel began to murmur against Moses. Okay, but hallelujah. This whole murmuring thing. You know, we've been in Egypt. Yeah, it was bad. We had to build pyramids and stuff. Really bad. But at least we had meat there. So let's go back. Let's go back to the meat of Egypt. And then they started to murmur against Moses and against Aaron. And all the congregation said to them, "Oh, that we had died in the land of Egypt, or in this wilderness. Oh, that we had died." How's that for a pity party? "And why is Jehovah bringing us into this land so that we can fall by the sword? Our wives and our infants have become a prey. It is not good for us to return. Is it not good for us to return to Egypt?" And then Moses and Aaron got very afraid, and they fell before the assembly, and they were kind of cowards, actually. Because sometimes it's a problem if you are leading people and they are rising up against you. And Moses and Aaron fell flat on their face before the people. Unlike David, who fell on his face before the Lord. But see this. "And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of those who spied out the land, they tore their garments. And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, 'The land into which we passed to spy it out is an exceedingly good land.'" So all of a sudden, they are looking and they're seeing all of these things that the other people have seen, made their conclusion, and they're saying, "Listen, this is an exceedingly good land which God is promising us. We must go in there. We must go and take it. If Jehovah has delighted in us, then he will bring us into this land and will give it to us, a land which is flowing with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against Jehovah, and you do not fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their defense has turned away from them, and Jehovah is with us. Do not be afraid of them." Now, if that were me, this is hectic words coming from two people in about 3 million. Saying, "Listen, this is a good land. God has already given it to us. We should just go and take it." So just along the side here, it said there, "For they are our bread." So let's get away from the Old Testament for a while and this story. Tonight you might be sitting here facing a couple of giants, facing a couple of things. But like that scripture says there, you know, those tough times, those rough and things that God has placed in your life, those are the things that he put there which will be bread to you and to me. But many times we want to run away to there where the meat is, in Egypt. But what God has given us, put in front of us, even though it looks daunting, was the thing that is going to purpose us to be sustaining for us in the time to come. But they said there, "Only do not rebel against Jehovah, but go and take on these people, for they are our bread, and God has given them into our hands." Now, after all this, I've told you the story now. After all of this, then came the following thing. "And all the congregation said to stone them with stones," these two people that stood up. And as they were coming to stone Joshua and Caleb, guess what happened? Any guesses? Okay, at least you were awake. "The glory of Jehovah appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation to all the sons of Israel." Now, when I read that, I was kind of like saying, "God, this is interesting. At the moment where they stood up, proclaimed their faith in you, and you came when they wanted to be, or other people wanted to stone them, that's when you decided, 'Listen, I'm going to appear And so my glory to all of Israel because of the faith of these two people, of Caleb and of Joshua. And now, this is where some of the people come to us and then they say, you know, how can a loving God do something like this? What does God want to do? God wants to wipe out all 3 million people. He wants to start with Caleb and Joshua and maybe Moses and Aaron and then obviously a couple of wives too. And it says there, Moses, who is the intercessor, he steps in and he says, God, okay, hold on. You can go and read there. Moses steps in and he says, God, can I just say something? And God says, yeah, you can speak. And he says, Lord, just remember where you brought us from. You brought us from Egypt. And if you come and you kill us now here, then to Pharaoh and to those people, it would look like they've won. Okay, that's the Vals paraphrasing. But Moses comes and he intercedes and he says, God, please give us another chance. And God will, every time. If you intercede for people, and that's just what I firmly believe, you know. Many times, people come to me and they say, yeah, but I got so tired of praying for my father. Then I want to say, listen, whenever you intercede for your father, it is a continual thing, yes. But if that burden lifts off you, then you have accomplished what needed to be accomplished in the spirit for that time. But many times we put ourselves under this thing to say, oh, I must pray, you know. Maybe God has already, you know, put that thing on your heart. Say, listen, this is what I want you to pray for. And I've already said this morning, Danelle going to the back there, she's going to share with us in 2 weeks' time just a little bit about prayer. God is a strategic God, okay? He's not this slap bang, let's do it, then let's wipe everything and everyone. It might look like it sometimes in the Old Testament. But God is a very strategic God. When He lays something on your heart, pray for it because He's got something that He wants for that specific moment of time. Anyway, but that was on the side. Now, Numbers 14, after Moses has said this, he said, Jehovah is slow to anger and of great mercy, bearing away iniquity and transgression, and by no means He will clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity, and He goes on, fathers and sons, but I pray, forgive the iniquity of this people according to your greatness and mercy. And as you have gone with this people from Egypt, even until now, please go on with us again. And then God says a lot of stuff, and He says about Caleb and about Joshua. And my servant Caleb, and this is the crux for tonight, so if you dozed off, listen to this. Because there is another spirit or a different spirit within him, and he is following me fully. I shall bring him into the land into which he has gone, and his seed shall possess it. Now, what's so amazing about this, Duval? Two people, Joshua and Caleb, they saw things differently. God has given them the ability to see by revelatory eyes what He was going to do for them. Now, here's the crux of the matter. When you read Joshua 1, verse 9, what does it say? Does anybody know? Munibangwesi. Do not be afraid. Be bold and very courageous. Now, always when I read that, I thought, how afraid must this man have been for God to tell him, be bold and very courageous? Twice, I think, in that scripture. Forty years before that, Caleb and Joshua, stood up before 3 million people and they declared what God was going to do. And then for 40 years in the wilderness, they were walking around with all of those moaning, murmuring bunch of whatevers. So now, when I read Joshua 1 verse 9, I understand, listen, this guy and his friend have been carrying this thing that they knew God was going to do in their heart for 40 years. This isn't a thing of God coming to him saying, you know, don't be afraid, be bold and very courageous. No, 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 no. This is God coming saying, my boy, this is your time. Be bold and very courageous. Go out there and do whatever I command you to do. Joshua and Caleb had a revelation of what God showed them. And they went and they said, listen, even though 40 years in the desert while other people are dying, we are going to see what God has for us. Because there was a different spirit within them. After that, you can read most of the people there. God said a lot of things, and they're not going to go into the wilderness, into the promised land, but they're going to the wilderness for 40 years. And after that, now the people, now they fired up, you know. No, no, no. We are going to take the land. How many times are we like that? When God has come and said, okay, my boy, my girl, you missed it now. Right? No, no, no. Now I will do this. But that's not what God has told you to do now. He said, listen, for Duval, your time for the ministry has not come 4 years ago. You must go and you must work now. So if I would have said, Lord, okay, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and then went and I forced myself into the ministry, would that have been beneficial? No. But this is exactly what they did. They said, they rose early in the morning and they said, Lord, now we are going to go. We're going to take this land because that's what you said. And verse 44, and they said, and they presumed to go up to the mountaintop where they thought God was supposed to be. Presumption is a very scary thing. If you presume something, and it's not the truth, that can get you in big trouble. It says there in verse 44, it says, but the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah and Moses did not leave the middle of the camp. And Moses was wise. He heard God. God said, listen, you're not going, you're going to the wilderness now. And he prayed things like, Lord, I'm going nowhere unless your presence goes with me. So if the Ark of the Covenant stays in the middle of the camp, these people who want to go and fix the nonsense that they've made, they can go. I'm staying right here. Obedience is much better than sacrifice. Now, what is the difference between knowing something and having a revelation of something? And I began with this. It's like telling somebody about bungee jumping, but you haven't done it before. Who has not done bungee jumping before you? Okay. Do you want to come and share with us what it's like? No. It's a doof thing to do. But I have done it. So I can share. I had the revelatory knowledge. Joshua and Caleb had that revelatory knowledge of what God was going to do for them and for the people of Israel. And that's why a different spirit was inside of them. You know, and when you get a revelation, especially of who God is in your life and what He is going to purpose with your life, then not many things can stand in your way. Joshua 1 verse 16. I've already explained that. My servant Moses is dead. Joshua 1 verse 2. My servant Moses is dead. And now rise and cross over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given it to you, as I spoke to Moses. Verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, we will do all that you command us, and we will go everywhere that you shall send us. According to all we heard from Moses, so we listen to you. Surely Jehovah your God is with you, as he has been with Moses. Whoever rebels against your mouth and will not listen to your commands, in all that you say to him, he shall die. This is a different generation that's going to take the promised land. A different generation who's got a different spirit within them, because the revelation that they've got is one of God can, not of save thou, Lord, but one of the Lord will save. Now, Judges 2 verse 8. Just a great scripture to see. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Jehovah, died, being a son of 110 years. He knew that he was a son of the Most High. He understood, listen, God, I know you. You have given me this promise. I stand here before you as your son because of the promise that you've given me. Now, we've got an easier way because Jesus has already given it to us. But he understood that thing of, that's my inheritance. That's where I will go. So tonight, if you're sitting here, God wants to say, listen, my boy, my girl, come here. You are a co-heir with Jesus with everything that I've got. So when you walk out there, when you walk into the Mark's place, when you walk wherever, you don't need to look at yourself as grasshoppers. You are not that. You can walk in there. You know, I heard the story once of a guy going surfing. And I did a little bit of surfing. When you get to a place where you've got the locals are not lekker people. Because this is their spot. And then this guy, knowing, having a revelation of who his father is in heaven. When they came there and said, listen, this is our spot. He said, listen, my dad owns this beach. And I will be here. And that is what the revelatory knowledge of what Jesus has done for you and your Father in heaven has already given you does when you enter any situation. It gives you that boldness to stand there and say, listen, my dad owns this. I'm not afraid to stand up and be bold. So when God comes to Joshua and says, be bold and very courageous, that man is already bold and courageous. Because he had a revelation of who God is and what God will do for him. So when I say revelation rocks tonight, it's not like a rocking thing. Revelation puts you on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Knowing that you can do whatever he has said that he will do for you. And then you can say to me, listen, Deval, again, you're just in the Old Testament here, man. This is just an Old Testament story. It's not applicable for today. Matthew 6, verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. Then, if your eye is sound, all of your body will be light. But if your eye is evil, all of your body is dark. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Always when I read that scripture, I was like, God, how can light be darkness and the light in me in darkness? How deep? What is that? I do not understand it. And Pastor Fred just once, in passing, just shared around this, and it was just so awesome for me. It's kind of like we're saying, every dark cloud has a silver lining. What do you see? Do you see the dark cloud? Do you see the silver lining? Paraphrase, that's what the scripture says. If you look at the world, because that's your eye, and if your eye is sound, if you look at the good things, all of your body will be full of light. But if your eye is evil, and you only see the darkness, then how deep is that darkness? And that's what God says. Listen, my boy and my girl, when you understand what I've done for you, and that you are a co-heir of Jesus, you can walk into any situation, no matter how deep, how dark, and you can speak the light. You can see the silver lining of every cloud. So tonight, I'm finishing with this. Almost 7 o'clock. Nobody's raised their hands yet. Matthew 16, verse 13. And coming into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus questions his disciples and saying to them, whom do men say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but you, who do you say that I am? And that's the question tonight for each and every one of us. Who do you say Jesus is? When you look at your situation, who do you say Jesus is? When you look at this mountain before you, who do you say Jesus is in your life? Jesus has given us everything, but the revelation of who he is in our lives makes all of the difference. And I'm saying this because, you know, there are many facets to our walk with God, obviously. But many of us know Jesus only as Savior. And that's wonderful. I'll see you in heaven. Hallelujah. But have you seen Jesus, the deliverer? Have you seen Jesus, the provider? Have you seen Jesus, the healer? All of those things, Jesus is. So in every situation, who do you say that I am? So tonight, finishing, when we sit in any situation in our lives, you know, the thing that carries you through any difficult period of time is a revelation of what God has promised you. So if you're sitting here tonight and you have a little bit forgotten the things that God has already revealed to you, but you know, time has passed and a lot of stuff has happened, and you're not seeing so clearly anymore. And tonight I just want to encourage you. God's word is true. God's word is forever. And he says in his word, it will not come back to me void. So whatever he has spoken over your life, stand on that. Hold fast to it. But remember that in every situation, who do you say Jesus is? I've heard many times people saying, you know, yeah, but my sin is so big. What utter nonsense. So you're saying actually that your sin is bigger than Jesus. Well, you don't know what I did. Yeah, but Jesus knows, and he's bigger than that anyway. Who do you say that Jesus is? What is the revelation that you've got about your Lord and Savior? So stand with me tonight. Let's just close our eyes, and I'm just going to pray for us tonight. And if I'll just pray first. Father, I come to you, Lord, and Lord, I ask for just the grace, Lord God, to come into your presence, Lord, and be open, Lord God, daily, Lord, just for a fresh revelation, Lord God, of who you are. Lord, you say in your word, Lord God, that the sevenfolded spirit, Lord God, is the one that teaches us, Lord God, gives us new revelations and things every day. Father, that we can read a thing, Lord God, that we've read many times before, but then just one day, Lord God, everything clicks. Father, I ask, Lord God, for that moment, Lord, in each one of our lives, Lord, where we can see in every situation that we are, just that place where we can stand and say, my Lord is. And Lord, that we can be like Caleb and Joshua, Lord God, see the promise that you've given us, Lord God, and go and take it, Lord, and to be bold and very courageous in everything that we do. If you're standing here tonight and any of the things that I've said touched you, please come afterward and I would like to pray with you. Especially if you don't know Jesus, then that'll be my best prayer to pray with you tonight. But let's just sing that last song again, or whatever song, and then I'll end the service. And those of you who want to come for prayer, please come.